Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Some of you I saw this morning, doubleheader, single price admission. Great to see everyone. We're going to discuss a very weighty topic today. Really going to be discussed any time of the year. During Chodesh Kislev, you know, I would say Hanukkah is a time of reflection, a time of growth for ourselves. But I think a few weeks ago was Parshas Vayera. I had like a throwaway line just explaining Abraham and Sodom, and we got into a discussion during the Parsha Shir about, can you daven for somebody else to change? We noted that Abraham davened that Hashem shouldn't destroy Sodom. He didn't daven for them to change. So why was that? So the easiest answer was, there was no time. How fast were they going to change? God was going to destroy Sodom tomorrow. This wasn't going to change anything. But I mentioned that, no, I don't. It's not so simple that you could daven for somebody to change, in which there are many hands that were raised as a result of that. So I said, you know what? Let's hold off. Let's make this into a shiur and discuss this topic, expand this out a little bit more, and really explore this. Just to understand, we'll begin with a question here, and then just you tell me after that question what your issues are with this topic. Is it too obvious? Obviously, you can daven for somebody to change. Why would it be a problem, a challenge? What would be standing in the way? What's a roadblock to pray for somebody to change? We all have people in our lives in different ways that we would like them to be different than the way that they are. Whether that's, you know, just working on their day-to-day midos, maybe that's religiously, we want them to be in a different place than they are right now. Health-wise, we always are davening for people that are physically, you know, unwell, and we're davening for their betterment. So where does this fit into this whole picture? So the Me'il Tzedakah, Rav Yonah Lansdorfer, not Neil Sedaka, although easily confused. He lived about a few hundred years ago, and he has a tshuva. Someone asked him the following question. The topic of the question was, L'hachzir poshim ha-machishim borei olam b'tshuva, to bring back those that do not believe in God through tshuva. What was the question? Ba'ir Izmir. Now, where do you guys go to Turkey? On your trip? No. So Izmir, I think, is in Turkey. Izmir. So Yatza Echad Midato L'dat Acher. There was an individual that left religion. V'lokach gam ki imo b'no katan. He didn't only leave himself, if that wasn't enough, but he took his child with him. Presumably he was married, he got divorced. That's, you know, then he stopped Gusham in Rishayim Acherim Lispa'alov. Back then, this was a, not to diminish today, but the communities then were so insular, and everybody knew everybody's business, and it was very rare for somebody to leave the fold in the way that, you know, it happened, but it was different. And the community wanted to know whether it's permitted to daven for this person, Shiachziru Hashem, Lavodaso, that Hashem should bring him back to believe in God. V'yitim belibo lashum b'tshuva shlema, and that in his heart, he should be chozer b'tshuva. Ad shelo noda im hayotzi ahu poseach pesach, ohir b'tshuva belibo ola. Even if this person himself won't do this on his own, meaning we want to daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to create tremendous divine intervention, that this person is going to do complete tshuva on their own. So we want to have a Tehillim rally in shul, right, where we want to daven for him and his son, right? His son doesn't know better, following the father. But we want to save his soul and his child's soul. Is that okay? I'm going to say, is that permitted? Is that effective? Let's say, maybe that's a better word. Is it effective to daven in such a way?
The person himself doesn't want it.
What?
The person himself doesn't want it.
So meaning, what's that roadblock? I mean, we're davening. What's the roadblock that's standing in front of Mendy right now when you said that? Individual, meaning use terms, halakhic terms. What are you, or just Torah terms here. What are we talking about here?
Somebody that has the wisdom of being able to see clearly, than to say,
okay, cool. But you're going to answers. Bechira chafshus, right? David, Mendy, that's what you're saying. You know, it's free will. Free will. One of the basic tenets of Judaism is that we have free will. So if we have free will, then how can I daven for somebody else to do something that they don't want to do? No?
Just so, because I think it's right. Okay.
Right.
So. No, but you can daven that somebody should convince them that he's wrong. That, you know, he should go back.
Oh, so you're saying.
Look at the Lubavitch.
Daven, wait, what's it? So daven that you're going to, that they're going to find the right mentor, the right Rebbe. Find it. Is that the same or is that different?
What about somebody who's in the hospital?
Yeah.
They're in terrible pain. They're terminally ill.
Yeah.
Is it right to die for them to have a reform that they should
have always been? When you say death, when you say.
So that's also. So it's the same sheer series, I would say, right? To save light of reason. Yeah, do you dive in for that person? Rabbi Adler, Rabbi Yosef Adler came last year for the Chevra Kedisha dinner. He discussed this. I discussed this in a share, I think, 6-7 years ago, maybe even longer. I remember Leo was here. He was in the share. We discussed this. There's different mahalchim in that. There, at least, you're dealing with, there's, we could argue it's divine intervention. The person, we assume, wants to get better, right?
And the person really wants to die quickly.
So there it's a discussion whether that's allowed or not. What type of tefillah can we do?
I think also, this is, we had someone here in the shul that was very sick and saying, it's like the end money was running on the wall.
Yeah.
I think that what they said is it's also that they shouldn't suffer.
They shouldn't suffer, right.
So as you to say, they don't want that there for that purpose as well.
You're not, because we can't pray for a miracle. Not pray for a miracle. We're praying for the person who's in something. Right. Yeah, Peter, what were you going to say before?
Instead of doubting that you should change him or find a Rebbe or whatever, just maybe that he can see the light on his own, you know, and come around and see the other way.
Whether it's a guy, you know, putting tefillin on him, you know, or somehow that's, somebody, Hashem should orchestrate it.
He
should meet somebody that's going to change his lifestyle. Right, because, yeah, okay. So it's usually the woman that's going to bring him back. So you should meet somebody that's going to change him. Yeah.
Does Hashem, like, look at us and kind of play around with us to some degree to say, to change how we feel internally, and
yeah,
and we should look at something differently. Does that actually happen? Or to say, this is what you really want, so I'm going to help you come to that conclusion. Does that happen?
Nobody knows.
I'm just saying. I mean, does God do that?
Or we have to. You have to come to the.
Sometimes you see certain events.
Does Hashem plant things in our? What you're asking is, does Hashem plan things in our lives that help us become inspired? I would hope so. And, you know, that's, I think, what life is about. But part of it is we need to do it on our own too. But yeah.
For example, if you're a fireman driving around down the block,
yeah.
Can you say something that, it's not my house? It's already top camp. So
yeah.
It's almost the same thing.
So that, yeah, that's a tefillah shav, but if I see a fire engine, or by that matter, a ambulance truck, I do say to him. My kids know too. We say to him in the car. That's an appropriate thing to do. For whatever is going on, it should be a little bit easier. that the fire shouldn't happen. The fire happened, or it didn't happen already. Yeah, but that for sure. That for sure. Yeah.
The same way, like I keep hearing it over and over again, that they're not, we're dominant for them, so they should change because they're not doing it the way we want it. Like they've left, they're not doing it the way we want it, okay? And they think that you're not doing it the way they want it. So why is one better than the other?
Because the other way is right, and this way is wrong.
I'm talking like you now, but I'm not saying this.
Spoken as true parents, yeah.
We want that everybody needs to be
great point. Right, so men, yeah, so Hani and Dina are asking that when we're davening here, is this for us or is it for them? Right, that's fascinating. I had this thought this morning that there are only I think two weddings recorded in entire Tanakh. As far as I know, there's only two like mishtes as a wedding mentioned. One is in our parsha with Leah and Yaakov, supposed to be Rachel, and Boaz. Boaz made a very simple wedding of 10 men. It was like a Takana wedding from Lakewood. And Lavan invited everybody, the whole town. But Lavan's wedding is called the Mishta Lava. Because sometimes you make a simcha, you impose your will. Not what your children want. You do what? What are the expectations of me? What do they think about me? What do I want? Right. So that's a love on. It's a love on way. Right. Sometimes we impose our will, what we want, on our children. Right here, there's an objective that you know we believe. Right. This is the to follow a path of Torah mitzvot. Objectively, is a good way to live life. Yeah, Mr. Epstein.
Isn't
that
competition?
Yeah. Therefore, all of us have to be on the same level. That means that if you're the wicked one of us, you have to be one of us. You're right. So Mr. Epstein is saying there's a responsibility, not just to our family members, but to anybody to bring them back. And the people should be good. Whether Jew or non-Jew, we want everybody to be, you know, tikkun, takein olam b'malchut shekai. So let's look at some sources inside and see this was addressed. I'll tell you by who. So the Miltstaka, again, a few hundred years ago. And then we have a Gemara that really addresses this almost head on. We'll say almost because it depends how you read the Gemara. We'll learn from Rav Kook, the Chazon Ish. Right? Rav Kook Chazon Ish is Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's the 20th century. We have the Marsha. Marsha lived earlier than that. He's a parish in the Gemara. Rav Shlomo Idols that all address this Gemara in different ways. Different ways. So, just as background, the Rambam writes here in Hilchos Shuva in Perek Hey. The Rambam in Hilchos Shuva has four chapters in a row that talk about repentance from sins. Right, in all different ways. How can you do repentance? How can't you do it? What blocks you? What helps you, etc.? And then chapters 5 and 6 talk about free will. It's very strange because it makes sense on one level that free will is it's a prerequisite to doing tshuva. If you can't have free will, you can't do tshuva. But if that's true, why doesn't the Rambam put it as chapters 1 and 2? In Hilchos Shuva, not chapters 5 and 6. It's not a question for now, but Rabbi Soloveitchik's question, he asked this in a Shuva Drasha 40-50 years ago. So he, and then the Rambam goes back and talks about Olam Haba, and then goes back to Shuva in Hilchos Shuva. But he begins with the following. Rishus l'chol adam, nesuna, right? It's free will is granted to all men. Imratza l'hatos atzman l'derach tova, tzaddik or rishus b'yadam. If somebody wants to be a tzaddikas, and do good, it's your choice. Imratza l'hatos atzman l'derach ra'a l'yos rasha, harishus b'yadam. If somebody wants to choose evil, choose bad, that is their choice as well. Al yavur machshavtecha davar zeh, sh'omer titshe olumas olam rov golmei b'nei yisrael, sh'kash baruch hu gozer al adam, mitchilas b'yasa l'yos tzaddik rasha. The Rambam says, don't listen to all those people that tell you that people were designed to either be good or bad. It's not true. It's not true. Ein adavar kein. Ela kol adam ra'uy lo li'yot tzadik k'moshe rabbeinu is a well-known line. I don't like to say famous, because then I say famous, people feel bad if they don't know. It's well-known within the Rambam. The Rambam says that anybody could reach a level of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a very significant line. The Rambam doesn't throw away lines, right? He says that anybody could be like Moshe, like Avraham or Yitzchak or Sarah or Rachel. Moshe spoke panim upon him, right? So we can reach a level like Moshe Rabbeinu. Our potential, 100%.
Potential,
yeah. Right. Oh, Russia, ki Yeravam. The classic Russia, the classic tzaddik is Moshe. The classic Russia is Yeravam. Yeravam ben Nevat, we meet him, unfortunately, in the beginning of Sefer Melachim. And Yeravam was the one that really caused, really the Jewish people did, but he was the leader of this. He caused the kingdoms to be split, where he basically made a second temple location, not the second temple, but a different location, so the people of the south of Israel did not have to go visit the Beis HaMikdash, and really was responsible for the breaking of the Beis HaMikdash eventually, but all the Sefer Melachim is a result of Yeravam's leadership. He had the potential to become a great leader amongst Klal Yisrael, the Gemara says, but he chose evil. So you could be a Chacham, a Seichel is a fool, Rachaman, compassion, sorry, cruel, Okile, Oshav, Bechain Shkoshvar Deus. It's your choice what type of person you want to be. Certainly, we're created with certain proclivities. We're created in a certain way with Ma'alos and Chasronos. But ultimately, how we choose to lead our lives, that is up to us. V'davrazet, just the last halacha here. Iker Gadolhu, V'amud HaTorah V'mitzvah. This is like a basis of all the Torah, that we are created with Bechir Chavshus. Like the Torah says, Re'ein asati lefanecha hayom es achayim, Re'ein enochi nosin lechem hayom. God gives us that ability to choose every day. Cholom harashus biyadchem, chol mashi yachbots, ha'adam lasos ma'asim b'nei adam, osim b'in tovim b'in ra. It's our choice whether we want to do good or we want to do evil. That is right. How far does that extend? Is that for everything? What about Paro, Melech Mitzrayim? Those are questions the Rambam himself deals with, which not for now, but you should know. Those are real questions. Hashem was gozer that the Jewish people were going to be slaves in Egypt for such a long time. Why does Paro need to get punished? Isn't he just a pawn of God? So those are real questions that the Rishonim themselves grapple with. When it comes to individual basis versus a country or community, right? We all have Bechira Chavshus.
This child that you said was taken from,
yeah,
he's got no chance. If he, when he's a little kid, so all he's going to see is what he sees. So what chance is he?
What do you mean?
In other words,
you mean he has no choice?
Yeah, as a little kid, growing up in this house, and this is all he sees.
Yeah.
You know, what kid has no way to go?
Well, that's called, right? You're right. It's not fair. It's not fair. Yeah. So the Gemara here continues and says the following. This is just on the introduction to this topic. Amar b'chanina hakol b'dei shemayim. Everything is in the hands of God. Chutz mi yirat shemayim, except for yirat shemayim. And Rashi tells us, what does this Gemara mean? Kol habala adam biyad hakadosh baruch hu. Anything that happens to us, what does he mean to us? Aruch kagon. I would have said, oh, how people act towards me. That's not what he says. Whether we are tall or short, you know, ani or ashir, wealthy or poor, Chacham Shote, Lavan Shachor, Hakobi De Shemayim. I mean, the situation we are born into, that's from God. That's our DNA. You can't necessarily change to a certain degree. Aval, truth is, when it comes to brain function, we have something that's very, very important called neuroplasticity today. There's many books on this topic. One of them is called The Brain That Changes Itself, where we do believe that people can change intellectually, you know, in a range, but they can change. You can grow and evolve as a person. You have a certain way of behaving, of acting with a growth mindset. So we're born with all of those things, right? I may never be able to dunk a basketball, right? And a 10-foot basketball hoop. Now, thankfully, I can lower the basketball hoop because that's one we have. And then I could dunk. But I can't dunk. But that doesn't change whether I could be a tzaddik or a rasha. That's basketball is not related to this necessarily. So that's all up to us. Okay? Etzu masar biyado shel av. That is our choice. So let's now begin trying to develop a mahalich. So the next source of the Gemara, skip that and go to the Zohar. The Zohar, amazingly, takes a stand on this topic. Mitzvah lo la'adam. There's no English translation of the Zohar. I apologize. Mitzvah lo la'adam lispalel al harishayim. There's a mitzvah to daven for the rishayim. Kedei sheyachzeru lemutav. That they daven to change. Velo yikansu legehenim. So, what does the Zohar say pretty clearly? It's a mitzvah to pray for people, right? We, at least for their olam haba, for their betterment, objectively, we want them to do good because we want them to be in a good place. So we're allowed to daven for them. It's not allowed to. It's a mitzvah to daven for them. The Zohar does not say that they should change, right? Daven for them, for the neshamos, for something. Maybe you can translate it as they can change, but not necessarily. Which leads us to this Gemara in Brachos. Yeah.
So we know that Abraham is the biggest one in the King of Chesed. We also know that Abraham prayed for God to save Sodom. Have you ever seen anywhere that Abraham did something like this?
What do you mean?
It was to pray that the bad people around him not going to get heaven.
I mean, he tried to carry them.
Carry them while they were alive. But I mean, this notion, where's he getting this from?
So if you continue in the Zohar for a moment, the Gemara continues, the Zohar continues. Amar Rebbe, asu lo la'adam yispalo al rishayim yishtav minol. You're not allowed to daven that God should destroy the Rishayim. Shemali silku kuchibrichu the terach min ha'olam. If God removed terach from the world, the Zohar is saying terach was not an okay guy, he was a rasha, whoa. Shei oved over the Zohar, lo ba Avram avinu la'olam. Right? Avram would not come into this world. It's hard to say that Avram did not daven for them in addition to bringing them into his home. You have to say that those two things, you know, really do go together. Teachers, rebbeim, you know, they daven for their students in addition to try to educate them and teach them to learn. The Gemara tells us the following: Hanu bir Yoni. This is Gemara Brachos Daf Yud, and really everybody moving forward is going to be dealing with this Gemara. It's a Gemara. It's a story between Reb Meir and his wife. Anyone know what Reb Meir's wife's name was? It was so great they named the school after her. And it's not Mayanot or Na'ala. Buria, okay? So the Gemara says like this. Hanu bir Yoni tehavu bishvavuse de Rebbe Meir. There were certain hoodlums in Reb Meir's camp. Right? Reb Meir Balanes, we know where he's buried. On the side of the road in Tveria. It's a very big area. And many people go daven in his kever all the time. Reb Meir was, you know, people drove him nuts every day. Rakabim, and they bullied him. Rakabim tsari le tuva. Havakai bai ramei rachmi iluya kihechi de lemaisa. Rameyer got to the point that he davened for them that they should die. Every day, they pushed him around. They beat him up. He really drove him nuts. And he davened that they should die. Got very dramatic, and the air conditioning shut off. It's like perfect timing. Amr le Burya devaisu. Burya, his wife, turns to him and says, "My daite, what are you doing? Honey, what are you doing? Mishum dechsiv yitamu, we say, yitamu chatayim min haaretz, urishayim od einam. Yitamu chatayim, the sins." Mr. Epstein, this is like what you're referencing before. The sins should be erased from the world, and there should not be any more rishayim. So, says Burya, yitamu chatayim, the sins should be gone from the world. Miksiv chotim, not the sinners, right? You hate the sin, not the sinner. Not the sinner, not the sinner. Chatayim siv. V'od, shapila sefi dekra, rishayim odinam, kim yitamu chatayim, rishayim odinam. And she says, look at the rest of, she's darshing the pasuk. Look at the rest of the pasuk. Rishayim odinam, if they're not sinning anymore, then what can you do? They're not Rishayim anymore. So she's saying, how can you daven for them to die? Daven for them to stop sinning. Ella Bay Rachmi Iluya to Lahadra Bachuva. She says to her husband, daven that they should do tshuva. They should treat you nicely. They shouldn't be bad kids. They should, you know, we're a shayim onina. Vayirachami, he davened, hadra b'tshuva, and they're chozer b'tshuva. What's the matter, Peter?
His way was more realistic. And more aligned with human nature.
More, yeah, what, yeah.
Take, for example, the head of the Ku Klux Klan, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to doubt that he should change, or are you going to doubt that he should die?
He should die.
Yeah. So I think the same thing here. It's more realistic.
Is this only going to choose that was going to be the last? Like, we have real enemies that we're supposed to die.
So we do say the Tzipasik and Mishlei that was also mentioned in, it's funny because it's a Tzipasik and Mishlei, but it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which tells us, b'mfol oivecha al tismach. Al tesamach. You should not rejoice over the downfall of your enemies. We discussed this when Osama bin Laden was killed, right? Should you say hallel? When I'm reading a book now written by a Israeli journalist, and he's just sharing all of the stories, and one of them was that he met the guy that killed Eichmann. He was the guy that they chose. He was working in the jail where Eichmann was going every single night, and they chose him to. He was a child of Holocaust survivors, and they had him kill Eichmann. He specifically was not a child. They didn't want somebody connected to the Holocaust because they didn't want the person to, you know, they wanted to be more objective. But either way, right? So, what's our reaction when someone like that, you know, and maybe it's different when they are right now oppressing, you know, or planning attacks against Jewish people versus when they are finished or they're on the run or they're already dead. Is there, right? Is that a fair? Yeah.
You literally say this guy that blew up and hurt people and killed people in New York City, that's whatever.
Right.
You can't like pray that in the middle of the doing, we should all just drop dead. Like,
no, I'm not. Is that different? Meaning when he's alive versus maybe when they're dead. I mean, don't be rejoiced over the downfall of your enemies. Now, what does that mean? The Jewish people, what happened at Kriyas Yam Suf when the entire Egyptian army went into the sea? But we sang Az Yashir. The Jewish people in that moment said Az Yashir. The Malachim, Hashem said, could not sing, but we could. Now, why is that? Because we were involved, meaning we were directly involved in that. They were trying to murder us. So if we were directly involved in it, we could say Shir. David's also correct that we don't say full Hallel on the last day of Pesach to acknowledge that the Egyptians were killed. Right? Not murdered, they were killed.
They were still God's creations.
Yes, exactly. So we like it's diminished to a certain level. Yeah.
So yeah. He didn't remember the Salacha that his wife she had to remind him, or was it just the fact that he was so overtaken by what they were doing to him that he didn't want to know it, or he just it affected him to the degree that he didn't remember it? I mean, what's going on there?
So let's look at the Enayah. Two sources down. The Enayah is a sefer written by Rav Kook. Many of the sermons that we have from Rav Kook today, a lot of them were written after he passed away. But this sefer, he wrote a perush on the Agadita of Shas. I think he began it. He definitely didn't finish. We have his perush on Maseches Brachos and Maseches Shabbos. The first two Maseches in Shas. And he writes here, again, you have to appreciate that it's Rav Kook, the lover of all people, right? And you'd be curious to know, well, what does he write about this story? Chashev Rameir, call it Chashev Rameir. What did Rameir think? Kevin she'ela har b'yoni ha'nishchasim b'tachlis. Like Peter said, come on. They're going to change practically. They're not going to change tomorrow. V'ena ponim kal chevetz yesharim darcha. They don't want to do good. They just want to vandalize. They want to, their brutality. They want to hurt people. Eif toel tefila l'shanos v'chirasim. How can this help? Mashu chok klali kavua. They're pretty set in their ways and how they behave. Shleach riach, Hashem, yisbarach, b'chiras adam, v'zeu yisod, kol ha'tara kula. God can't force people to do something. So Rameir says, there's no point in davening in this situation. Omna, Buria hiskila. Buria felt, she thought, ki ein lecha rasha ba'olam, shelo haya bocher yoser lechas b'derech tov, mi derech ra, ela she yitzro onso umat ehu. Every person in the world in their deepest recesses of their neshama wants to do good. But things get in the way. Yitzro, onso, umatei. Things get in the way. This is what they tell teachers. When you see the child in class that is acting up or misbehaving, they're not doing it on purpose. There's something else going on behind the scenes. They can't really follow what's going on. Therefore, they need to act out. They lack self-esteem, so they want their friends to laugh at them. The kid that's misbehaving and davening is probably because they have a hard time sitting or reading Hebrew, et cetera, right? Think of all of those children that were in your classes that always got kicked out of class. It wasn't because they wanted to get kicked out of class. It wasn't because they wanted to be labeled as the person that misbehaves, as the bad kid. Those labels stick. So Rav Kook says, everybody in their own way wants to do good and wants to be good. Al korchach, but things get in the way. Hu umlal v'holech v'darchei rasha. We're compelled. Situationally, things happen and we end up in a certain way. Doesn't blame people for their, people make poor choices too. We're not excusing poor choices. People make poor choices and they have to own those poor choices, and they're responsible for those. She initials the Amri. So Yo Lochino Chagun B'Tochachas Chachma B'Rav. But every person can use a little bit of Musa. Therefore, Beria said, don't be so quick to daven for their demise. Don't give up on them so fast. By not davening for them, come on. And he says, you see from this Gemara how important it is, because even people that we have written off can change. So Beria is telling her husband, before you get to that point, hold up a minute. Hold up. Let's first daven that maybe they can become inspired. They can change. Something with inside of them can awaken, and maybe something can change. So Rav Kook is really, why? Because that's really what they want. Rav Kook is saying, in a very Rav Kook way, that their neshama hapnimi, deep inside, they really want to be good. So what you are helping, what you're really davening for, is to them that to be uncovered and that to be revealed. And not that Rameir is wrong, or Beria is wrong, two different ways. And Beria is saying, try this way first before we choose your way. Okay? The Marsha adds another question. And he's like, I think, the most practical. Maybe he or Moshe are the most practical. Marsha says, wait a minute. What do we say every single day in davening? In Shmon Esrei, Hashivenu Avinu Besorasecha. Bring, not me, us, closer to Torah, the Karvenu Malkenu Lavodasecha. We should all get closer to God and to his service. Marsha's name, or Shlomo idols. Aleph Yud Yud Dal Lamed Shin. That wasn't his last name. I don't know what his last name was. But he took the last name of his mother-in-law. Why? She supported him in learning Torah. He got married. She supported him 100%. So he said, when I write my svarim, I'm going to take your last name to honor you, to mechabed you, for what you did for me in my life. So the Marsha appears in the back of every single Gemara. He has a parish on Rashi and Tosfos. It's like a super commentary on Rashi and Tosfos. And he has a parish on all the stories, the Gadata. So he says, "Bevadai, be'adam mavakish rachmim atzma lachzir b'tshuva nicha." To daven for ourselves to do tshuva, that Hashem should make it easier for us to do the things we want to do. Not a question we could do. That kovei yeshemayim puts v'yir shemayim. And the way that we want to go, Hashem helps us get that way. So by davening for ourselves to do tshuva, that's not a question. Aval lavakish rachmim. I'm in the bold words. Al chaveru lachzir b'tshuva kasha ma yo'il bakashaso. How can that work? And then he says the following. It only works, right, when we include ourselves in that tefillah. Hachzirenu b'tshuva shleima lefanecha. Hashem, bring all of us back to tshuva. I'm davening for myself along with everybody else. Why can Rav Meir daven for these individuals, these biryonim, these hoodlums, to do tshuva? Because it's beneficial to him. There's a benefit to the person that is davening for this, right? For the person to do tshuva, then you could do tshuva. It's very, very practical. It avoids the obstacle. It's almost like there's an obstacle called Bechir Chafshis. We're just going to drive around Bechir Chafshis. Because I can daven in this way, or the davening is effective in this way, because it affects me as well. So the more in tune we are with Klal Yisrael, right, and right, the world in general, then davening for somebody to change is effective if it pains you that they are not the way they should be, not the way you want them to be, the way they should be. They made poor choices. You daven for them to make the right choices, it hurts you. The Chazon Ish is going to say almost something very, very similar. The Chazon Ish and Rav Kook, it's good to put them on the same page because in their lifetime, they clashed a lot, always for the same goal. Always had the same goal was to raise the standard of Torah in Eretz Yisrael, but they had different ways of doing that. And the greatest way they clashed was in Shemitah. Shemitah was last year. Rav Kook was the one that brought the concept. It wasn't his concept, but he brought the idea of Heter Mechira to the land of Israel and made it something very substantial. And the Chazon Ish was very against that. It's one example of many where they were, you know, they did not see necessarily eye to eye in how to practically, you know, help the Jewish people in Eretz Israel. But he says the following. We'll read the where it's second line. It's a little bit bolder. Aval Adam Rashai Lachriach Es Re'ehu Lavod Aso Yisparach Bebekfia Bein Bepitoy V'lo Havi Bitul HaBechira Kevin Da Maisa Osa BeBechira V'chol Yisrael Kishachar. To do Kiruv and to help people and show people that how special Torah is, each one in their own way, that of course is okay. That's not upending the concept of Bechira, because you're just showing them and they change. When Sarah first started graduate school, I remember this like the first week of graduate school, when she had FDU for a PhD, they said to everybody in the class, none of you are going to change any person that comes to your practice. You're going to be a psychologist one day, but how great you're going to become, you're never going to change a person. Your goal is to give them the tools they can change themselves. If you think as a psychologist you're changing them, that's not effective. You're not a good psychologist. That's not their job. Your job is to give them, right? Not most people, we're not all born and created with the right tools in the toolbox. We have some of the tools to help us, but sometimes situations come up in life, whether it's a trauma, anxiety, depression, they come up, and we need more tools, more access to ways to grow and to change and to evolve in our lives. So it says the Chazon Ish. On the Miyesh Mispal of Fana Bisparch al Kirov with Philosophishmas, Misyaches a Kirov Shosa Kajbarch of the Burov, Kavin Shanasa Aide Philosophivra, Painud Amro Hailam Lomar Tain, Rotel Lomar Vaide Zam, Efshar Lola Kajbarch of the Kirov Kavin Shu Alpit Philosam. So when it comes to davening to before somebody, Miyesh Mispal of Fana Bisparch al Kirov, Utfiloso nishmas nisyaches hakirav shosa kadosh baruch hu lebruav. All you need to daven for is that Hashem should be close to His people. Right, it's a bit esoteric, right? That maybe this is what Yossi you're saying earlier, but the Chazon Ish is saying is that Hashem should plant more hints for this person. Not that you are causing the person to change. You can't do that. That's against Bechira. But the Chazon Ish is suggesting that would not be an effective tefillah. You daven that Hashem should get closer to that person. Maybe give that person more hints to help that person a little bit more that they could actualize their potential in life, right? Very different than the Maharsha that we mentioned before, and definitely very different than Rav Kook. Rav Moshe Feinstein over here says the following. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva to Rav Ephraim Greenblatt. Anyone ever heard of Rav Ephraim Greenblatt? Rav Ephraim Greenblatt
from Memphis.
So he was a tremendous gadol. He passed away about 4 years ago. Rav Moshe sent him and Rav Greenblatt's nephew, Rav Nata Greenblatt passed away last year, to Memphis to build up the Torah in the South. There's very little going on there. And Rav Nata went there and learned and started yeshivas, whatever it's called now, Cooper, it has different names every few years. Those were all started by Rav Greenblatt. He eventually, at a later age, made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael and wrote a whole set of tshuvas for him called River Goes Ephraim. Aryeh Shechter, who your neighbor, Aryeh, lived in Memphis. And he told me that when his older brother, he learned with every single bar mitzvah boy for their bar mitzvah. The whole community, everyone came to him. So he thought that every boy learned with him. So he got on the phone once and called Rav Riblat when he was 7 years old and said, I'd like a chavrusa with you. You learn with my older brother. And guess what? They learned together every single Sunday for years. He didn't say anything for years. So God, you know, amazing. So, oh yeah? Yes. So one of the most common names that comes up where Moshe finds these tshuvas, which every tshuva sefer has its, usually just look at the question and the answer. Well, it's interesting. Not always is the question mentioned in a tshuva sefer. Not always do we know the years that they're, you know, or even who asked it. For Moshe Svarim, we know who asked the question. And one of the most common names that comes up as people that the Shoel is Rav Ephraim Greenblatt. He has one of the most frequent names to ask Shilas to Rav Moshe. And he asked this question to him. And one could only imagine, right, what he was dealing with in Memphis. And maybe this came as a result of that. And he asked him about the story of Beria and Rav Meir. What's the appropriate mahalich? Do we paskin like Rav Meir? Do we follow Beria? How do we understand this? What about free will? And let's learn what Rav Moshe said. Masha tirates outfilas Beria al harishayim sheyashuva b'tshuva shehiksha marsha b'brachos. He quotes the marsha from earlier. The marsha says akol b'dei shemayim chutz miyirat shemayim. You have free will. Hinehu docha gadol. This is very hard to understand. The v'lo mistaber zeklal. He says, it's very hard to understand the Marsha's answer, where Moshe says, that I'm davening, since I'm davening for myself, I'm davening for them too. It's hard, he says it's a difficult answer. I would sarich lomar, shatfila haisa shelo yehe lahem nisyonos. We daven that those people should not go through any challenges. What they mean by that, right, that is going to cause them to fall deeper or more entrenched in the way that they are. Memela yashuvu shaloyu hayu chotim ela mechusar parnasa. Am shayach lispala shashem yisparach shiyazmin lahem shishmud divrei musar. You could daven for two things, that they don't have nisyonot, right? They're not, they're placed in the right situations and that they can maybe, people can come to them to inspire them, put tefillin on their own, whatever it might be. And that's Rav Moshe. And he says that he thinks is the right approach to this Gemara. When he says they were chozer b'tshuva, because Rav Meir daven for them, it must mean the daven that they don't have any nisyonos, right? And that maybe they found the right mentor. That mentor bumped into them and they found them. What? Yeah, anything. Yeah, right. Right.
It's something that happened. That saved by something. It's changed.
100%, right. We don't think when we're much younger that like one event in our life can like change a trajectory of where we go, but it does happen.
Either direction.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. So the Me'il Tzedakah himself. So we began, just to review, we began with the question from Me'il Tzedakah, where father took his son and they left and they were, you know, they stopped practicing Yiddishkeit, and the community wanted to know, can they daven? So we discussed the Gemara, we discussed the Rambam. The Rambam said that this is an issue of Bechir Chavshus. The Gemara says, Kol B'dei Shemayim Chutz Miyir Shemayim. So how can you do this? Even though the Zohar does say you could daven for a Shayim, that they are, they're saved from Gehenim. We learned the Gemara, Rav Meir and Beria. People were bullying Remeir, to say it lightly. Remeir wanted to daven the didai, but Berir said you shouldn't daven the didai, you should daven the tshuva. And how do we understand that? So we had Kook's approach to daven the tshuva. How could you daven for that? How is that effective? Because that's really what they want to do on their own. It's really be'etzem what where they want to be. That was Rav Kook's approach. The Marsha said you could daven for them in this case because you're davening for yourself. And once you're davening for yourself, you could daven for them too. That's how we get away with Hashiveinu Avinu Sorsecha, that tefillah. Chazon Ish does not really like this approach, right? You daven that Hashem gets closer to them. And that maybe that tefillah is going to bring them closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ramosha says very practically, you daven that they have no nisyonos, and maybe they also daven that people find them to inspire them. Now let's go back to what the Me'il Tzedakah himself says. He makes a very interesting point. Benirli b'yeshuvo, and he goes through the whole sugya. He quotes the story of Remeir and Buria. Yeshuvo ki vada kasavdu lufam yakash baruch hu mata levavos le'eza hatziva shiyala v'ritzono imken gamkan haya mokom lispala alayhu de lahadri ki hecha delo letzarina. Sometimes we do see, he says, we do see that Hashem makes it easier for certain people. And he says, maybe here, because they're causing pain. These people are causing pain to Rav Meir. So maybe the tefillah is effective in this way that they shouldn't hurt anybody else. Laman lo yitza'aru oso. Od lachem betchila. So maybe tefillah is allowed not to cause the teshuva completely, but maybe here it's allowed only for them in one way, vis-a-vis, or Meir is allowed to daven that they don't cause pain to me. But doesn't mean that that is going to change them completely. That's a suggestion of maybe what that Gemara here means. And then he says the following. He quotes the Arizal, right? The Arizal, one of the Greek Kabbalists from Tzfat. Sefer Kavanos, Bishar Yehudim. Yitzav l'chacham echad, sheyetzav b'no midato, v'ashiv b'tshuva. Sheyechavim b'birchas hashiveinu. The Arizal would tell people who have children that went off the derech or went on their own derech. It's very related to our topic next week with our Inspired by Alona panel, that the Arizal would tell parents to have extra kavana in the brach of Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sorasecha for their children. The Yomar Yehi Ratzon Shetachtor Chatira U'Tekaba B'Tshuvas Ploni Ben Ploni. And you added Yehi Ratzon that you should, that these people should have a special place near your throne, Hashem, and you should help them do tshuva. Etc. So this, he quotes from the Arizal, that it might be appropriate to daven for children. And he says very clearly, when it comes to parents davening for children, that, he says unequivocally, not a question, Rashai Lispalel, permitted to daven, Dematzinu Bra Mizake Abba, that we see that that's effective. Ein Lecha Tzar Gadol Mizem, is no greater pain, he says, than children not following their parents. Mikol Shekein Shematzinu Gamken Shenenash Al Yitziaso Midato, and he says, in that case, for sure, we are allowed to daven. Okay, for parents and children. So now what about our case? How does that fit in? This is like a community davening for this father. Nidon lefanenu, Bishvil also atino, b'shenishba ima. We're davening not for him only, but for this child that was taken with him. Rishon lispalo gam kin alav. Why can we daven for him? Mishum tsar haguf. It causes us pain. It hurts us to see and hear about the situation. Why? Not only for us, but we're also davening for the Shechina. Kimata she hutinok anachnu avihem shel yisomim. We all, as a community, are responsible for the children. Mutu aleinu to daven for him, and through davening for him, we have to daven for the father too, because the father is going to one that's going to bring him back. No one else is going to daven for him. So therefore, he says that it sounds like from here that if one is a very sensitive soul and feels very connected, it feels like Hashem is losing out. There's a significant loss of Kavod Shemayim as a result of this. Then the davening is not only permitted, it's effective, it's warranted in this case. And he would permit a community to daven on this behalf. Practically, I don't know what they did, right? It doesn't say, there's no footnotes here to say what happened. And every case on its own has to be dealt with in a very sensitive way. What you do in your own tefillos, we have very different approaches here that everyone could take into their own tefillos. For the tzibor, that's a different situation, how that would be mitigated. But the Me'il Tzedakah does say, when it comes to parents and children, not a question. When it comes to adults, though, he's a little bit stuck. He's not saying no because of free will. Do we have time for one last point? Is that okay? Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're being picked on by so-called Roshoyim.
Yeah.
And you can't change them. Can you doubt that they should find somebody else to pick on?
Is that what you say? Pick on someone your own size? Yeah.
That's
a great question. Yeah, it's great. It's great. Good. Yeah, any other questions? I want to leave up with one last amazing thought from Rabbi Soloveitchik. So, truth is, this is connected to Chanukah, because there's one of our Tanayim that he himself went off. His name was Elisha ben Abuya. There's a great book out there written by Martin Buber called As a Driven Leaf. It's based on a lot of Midrashim, but not completely. It's like historical and Midrashic, and he paints in the details. Very powerful. It's about Elisha ben Abuya, who was one of a major Tana, who is a friend, a Talmud Chaver to Rabbi Akiva and to Rav Meir, right? Rav Meir, who we've been dealing with. And Rav Meir, throughout his life, tried to get him to do tshuva in many different ways. He was one of the four people that went and meditated in this pardes, this meditative state that the Gemara talks about, that there was Rabbi Kiva, Ben Azai Ben Zoma, and Elisha Ben Abuya. It helped Rabbi Kiva get higher. Ben Zoma, Ben Azai, one of them went crazy, one of them died. And Elisha Ben Abuya went off. So the Gemara tells us here the following. Two stories, one major difference between the two stories. Says the Gemara in Chagiga. Sorry, they called him Achim. That was his nickname, Achim, the other one. Like Voldemort. They don't want to say his name. Okay? Shairochev ala suspa Shabbos. He was on a horse in Shabbos. We don't ride on horses in Shabbos. Okay? Rameyer Mahalech Acharav Lemotor Rupiv. And Rameyer was chasing after Elisha ben Abuya on the horse on Shabbos. Just imagine the scene, trying to learn Torah from him. Imagine if you saw a Rosh Yeshiva on Shabbos walking after a car with the window open, hearing words of Torah from the guy that's driving the car on Shabbos. This is what was going on. Amar lo Remeir, Chazur lacharech. So Elisha ben Abuya turns to Remeir and says, you can't go anymore. You know why? You're outside the tchum. Outside the tchum. 2,000 amos outside of where the people are living. So you can't go. So Remeir, Shabar Shiarti Bikli, as soon as I calculated, etc. So Remeir, so sharp, he says, Afata Chazor Becha. You should also return. You have to return. I have to return. I have to walk back. You return, right? He's always looking for ways to bring him back. So Amrle, he said, I can't return. I can't return. You know why? The Gemara says that I once heard, Me'achori Harparga, I heard a voice come out from Shemaim. It said, Shuvu Banim Shovavim. Everybody can return except for Acher. Acher can't return. I'm Acher. God doesn't want me. He doesn't want me. The Talmud Yerushalmi has basically the same story with the one detail that changed. The mayor says, you return. And he says, I can't. You know why? I heard from this voice in Shemayim. Everybody can return except for Elisha ben Abuya. Chutzmei Acher, chutzmei Elisha ben Abuya. So all of us would have looked at these two Gemaras and said, same thing. Acher Shmacher. It's the same thing. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said something amazing. It's here. This was at 1961 at a convention, a Mizrahi convention, held in Atlantic City, right? That probably was the last rabbinic convention held in Atlantic City, right? So he said the following. Second paragraph. Elisha ben Abuya, he heard the heavenly voice that called on him to disassociate from the Acher, who was his pseudo personality, his false identity, right? What did the voice from Shemayim say? Everybody can return except for Acher. I don't want that part of you. You created this image for yourself that's above Elisha ben Abuya. You're Elisha ben Abuya. That's who you are. You're neshama, you're poor. You're also Acher. So what did Hashem say to him? You can return. Get rid of the Acher. Except for Acher. But how did he interpret it? He interpreted it as a rejection. He heard it as Elisha ben Abuya can't return. Because ultimately, none of us are ever rejected. Nobody is ever rejected. Everybody could change. Everybody could evolve and become greater and closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's nobody that is, you know, disinvited from the Achorei HaPargo, from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Everybody can come in. And Hashem was giving him the pathway. Get rid of this part of yourself. It's not who you really are. This is very similar to Rav Kook. It's disassociated from who you are. You have an neshama. You just like have these layers that you built for yourself upon your neshama that you need to take and get rid of, and then you can come in. But unfortunately, that's not how he interpreted this voice. He did not interpret it that way, and therefore he never ultimately returns. Okay, and that should give us, I think, a beautiful insight from the Rav about the ability that we all have to always return. We always think, I can't become better. I can't do this because it's not who I am. Hashem is saying, it's not true. We all have an insight. Yes.
When I have a wonderful life for Isaac,
yeah.
He said at the end that he said, don't take one from here, take one from there.
Yeah.
The reason he said don't take one from here, even though both of them are idolatrous, both communities that there and there and now, they were both idolatrous, he said, both equally irreligious.
Right.
But he says, that one, the one here will never change. The other one can change.
They can change, right? 100%. 100%. That's what we're looking for. Okay. Wish everybody Chodesh Tov, everybody, and wish everybody a great
Shalom, Rabbi. Thank you so much for.